AIC Stories Podcast presents.
Welcome back to the AIC Stories Podcast, an audio archive of storytelling goodness. Today, I have a very short story for you about, let's just say about a rivalry that ratchets up to the worst levels. Before we get to that, though, I'd first like to remind you real quickly that if you are so inclined and would like to help out, you can buy me a coffee or a book and help support the podcast over at buymeacoffee.com/AICstories, or just visit AICstories.com and you'll find the links right there. Your support there, your financial support, goes directly into the continued production of AIC Stories, the growth of this amazing audio archive that we're creating together, and the continued growth of our amazing little community. Okay, so how about we get to today's story? It's a short one, like I said, so we're going to jump right in. This entry into the audio vault is Faded Words number 51. It's a story called Burkitt's 12th Corpse by August W. Derleth. The wall of hate that stood between the two old rivermen, Fred Burkitt and Hank Bloom, had grown from a strange and gruesome rivalry. The finding of dead bodies of persons drowned in the Wisconsin River at Sac Prairie. At the time of the tragic drowning of Bud Enders, the rivermen were tied. Each had found 11 bodies in the past 40 years. It was said by each of them, and repeated in Sac Prairie, that Bud Enders' body would decide the contest. The sympathy of Sac Prairie was with Burkitt, a kindly old man in contrast to the sullen surliness of Bloom, who was, too, somewhat younger. Burkitt had always joked about his odd luck at finding bodies in the river and still looked upon his almost uncanny way of knowing where the bodies had been taken by the swift current as more amusing than not. But Bloom had brooded upon his rival's luck ever since Burkitt had earned a $500 reward for finding the corpse of a young student who had fallen into the Wisconsin while drunk, almost a decade before. Now, Bloom made no effort to conceal his violent hatred for Burkitt, nor could Burkitt keep down his dislike for his rival. Bud Enders was drowned on a warm night in July, and 20 boats put out from Sac Prairie within an hour after he went down. Fred Burkitt and Hank Bloom were among them. Both the old men headed downstream, knowing by long past experience that the swift current in mid-channel, where the youth was drawn under, would quickly roll the body below Sac Prairie toward the long clay riverbank southeast of the village, locally known as the Yellow Banks District. Toward dawn, Fred Burkitt found Bud Enders' body, rolling along in a shallow but swift water crossing at a sandbar just above the Yellow Banks. The moon was out, and he had no difficulty seeing the body, which he immediately caught with a boat hook and secured to the boat without taking it from the water. Then he edged his boat out of the current and made swiftly upstream. Just where Heine's Slough enters the Wisconsin, he met Bloom. He could not help boasting. "Just made my dozen," he called to Hank in a gruff yet faintly triumphant voice. Bloom turned his boat and swung across the current toward him. Burkitt rested on his oars. Unaware of the fury that consumed his rival, he went on. "Well, we couldn't both find him. Let the best man win, I always said." And he smiled in the satisfaction of feeling himself the better of the two. Bloom had said nothing, but now he was looking cautiously upstream and down, his eyes scanning the surface of the water for sight of any boat, his ears waiting to catch any sound that might indicate the approach of other searchers. The two boats lay in quiet water, away from the current. Whether or not Burkett heard Bloom loosen and jerk out one oar is problematical. He turned toward Bloom just as the oar descended and caught him a glancing blow on the side of the head, toppling him from his boat and turning the boat with him. Then, with a savage lunge, he pushed Burkett's boat out of the reach of the older man just as he came coughing and gasping to the surface of the water. With another quick movement, Bloom detached Ender's body from the overturned boat. He made no attempt to catch the body, knowing that the current would not carry it far from this quiet water, and he could always return and find it. Then he shot away, unmindful of Burkett's despairing cries and secure in the knowledge that Burkett could not swim very well. A little way upstream, he paused and listened. There was no sound from below. Burkett had gone down. A cunning smile crossed his lips. Edging the boat into shallow water, he let himself fall fully clothed into the river, wetting himself thoroughly, except for his torn hat, which he threw into the bottom of the boat to give it the appearance of having been hastily torn away from his head and thrown there. Then, he got back into the boat and rowed furiously toward Sac Prairie. The circle of boats was now further downstream, and he did not have to row up quite as far as he had drifted down. He timed his entrance well, for the boy's cap had just been found along the shore, and the searchers were excited over their find. Quite suddenly, he shot from under the bridge into the yellow glow of lanterns held high above the water. "Burkett's gone under," he shouted frantically. "His boat tipped just above the yellow banks." Anyone who doubted his cries was easily convinced by his bedraggled appearance, and it did not require his explanation that he had gone into the water after Burkett to explain the wetness of his clothes. He told hastily that the old man fought hard, that he had had to hit him finally and had at last reluctantly to let him go in order to save himself. As he led the rowboats to a spot 100 yards above the entrance to Heine's slough, where in the quiet water the two bodies lay still, Bloom was enjoying the irony of the knowledge that his 12th body would be that of his old rival. He broke into speech again, excitedly telling about the accident and explaining that the boat had long since gone downstream, swept away by the powerful current in which it had tipped. He pointed out approximately the place where the accident had occurred, and went glibly over his story a third time. Then he left the searchers and pulled into the current toward the dark waters where Burkett had actually gone down. That much, Sac Prairie was later able to piece together. What happened after that is more obscure and fraught with horrific suggestion. It is certain that he went downstream and equally certain that he seemed to be heading for Heine's slough, though one or two disputed this point later. Despite the moon, it was difficult to observe Bloom's progress downstream, for he was soon lost in the very heavy shadows on the quiet water surrounding the slough's junction with the river. In the babble of sound made by the searchers above the slough, Bloom might have called for some time and not have been heard, though this is doubtful. At any rate, during a lull in the conversation, someone picked up the sound of frantic calling. Everyone stood and listened. Once again came a sharp call and a voice which was immediately identified as Hank Bloom's. The call was heavy with horror and fear. Then another call began to sound, but was abruptly stopped, almost as if it had been rudely shut off by a hand clapped over the lips through which it came. The boats immediately pulled away toward Heine's slough. At first, there was nothing to be seen except the bottoms of two overturned boats, one of which was Bloom's, the other Burkett's. Then someone saw the body of Ender over against one bank, apparently just washing up from deep water. Quite near it, partly submerged, they found the bodies of Hank Bloom and Fred Burkett. Bloom was dead, but he had not been drowned. He had been strangled. For when the horrified searchers pulled him out of the water, they found Fred Burkett's dead fingers sunk deep in the flesh of Bloom's neck. Burkett had found his 12th corpse. Well, like I said, kind of a chilling tale of a rivalry gone to extremes and obviously way too far. I'd love to hear from you guys with your thoughts on this story, so reach out by visiting AICstories.com, where you'll find all the links on how you can contact me, whether it be social media or email or whatever works best for you. And if you're enjoying the show, I'd love it if you could share this episode wherever you hang out online. I hope that you know how much I appreciate you spending some time with me here on the AIC Stories podcast every week. It truly means the world to me. As always, I want you guys to keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, but most of all, I want you to keep enjoying all of your stories. And I'll see you soon.